Merry Christmas, Inspire Church. We get to say that hopefully two more times on Tuesday night to one another, but I want to take this opportunity to wish you and your family Merry Christmas. If you are going out of town, as I know there are a few going to other places, so Merry Christmas. It's been good to be together this Christmas season, celebrating Advent, and I'm going to piggyback on Pastor Brandon. He did a great job of sharing with everything, but I just want to give a little extra plug for our Christmas Eve services, 4:30 and 6. One, it's a great opportunity to invite friends and family to. Secondly, if you could help us, and I'm not asking you to make a commitment except to just talk about it. Our 4:30 is kind of like the story that we're going to hear today. There was no room in the inn. There is no room usually in our first service, and it is, we add more chairs and there's still not room. So if you could, and this is your church, and if you can help us and come to our 6 o'clock service. I know we have about 20 of my family, or Heather's family, they're my family too, 20 of Heather's family that's going to be with us. We're all coming to the second service. It just greatly will help us. So all I'm asking for you to do is not make a commitment other than that you will talk about it with those in your family and those around you. So I want to see some heads bobbing here that you're going to talk about it, or I'm going to make you raise your hands and stand. So you'll at least talk about it, right? You'll at least talk about it. Gary, I'm looking at you. Okay, all right. Gary's going to talk about it. Okay, don't make me point anybody else out. So, hey, if you'll just talk about it, consider it just to help alleviate some space so more people can respond and hear the great Christmas message on Christmas Eve. So what are we going to do? We're going to talk about it. That's right. Exactly. That's right. Hey, a couple more things I want to just share. Thank you so much. Our Christmas offering that we've been receiving the last few weeks. I told you that I'd share the results today. Can I just share what I'm most excited about? And it's actually grown from first service to second. So to my knowledge, we have 201 families or individuals or households that have given to the Christmas offering. Last year, that was 164. So that's a big, big deal. So I'm more excited about that than anything. Our goal was 100,000 to half of it to go into our missions in 170 countries. We're part of a global church, do some wonderful things, but also 50,000 to a new van because our old one needs replaced for our youth camps and mission trips that they go on in the summer so they can get there safely. And so anyway, all that being said, with that goal of 100,000 and 201 people giving, is we had 101,759 given. So thank you very much. Praise God for that, for the faithfulness of his people. And someone who was a teenager between services said, I want to give something to that. So absolutely. So it was awesome. That's what made it go to 201 was one of our teens wanted to be a part of that as well too. So the van, just so you know, if you're thinking, okay, well, we got it. The van actually is about 4,000 more than what it was that we thought, because we couldn't get the 24 that had the things that we needed on it because they're moving on to 25. So yes, you can still be a part of it if you want to be, but I'm here more importantly just to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity and giving. And then we like to celebrate good things around here. I love being a part of a community. Of course, we know when one of us suffers, we all suffer. But I'm also, when we rejoice, we all get to rejoice. When one member in our community wins, we all win. Our community of Hutchison wins, our church at Inspire wins. And so I had the opportunity Wednesday night to, because I don't just work on Sundays. And so I'm just joking. If you're new and you think that's all that he does is shows up on Sundays. But I do have some flexibility. It allows me to, in the middle of the week, I was able to go down to Canyon, Texas, and watch our own Hutchison Blue Dragons bring home the national championship. So a little shout out to Coach Dallas and Heather over there. We got a proud, his dad was a great coach in his own right, about 17 to 20 years at in Salina at Kansas Westland, before that Ottawa. In fact, there was one time Mid-America beat Ottawa after I graduated, and he was coaching at that time. That's all we're going to say about that. But no one could be more proud of him than his dad, his wife Heather, who's the craziest fan that I've ever seen ever at a football game. And then, of course, his kids, Hayden, Cooper, and Parker. So there's a proud dad here. There's a proud wife up here. There's proud kids up here. But there's a proud church here. So we just are glad. We feel like we're part of it. Yeah, you can do that again. Thank you for that. So a win for one of us is a win for our community, and we're just proud to be a part of it. So we're in a series called When God Comes Near. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. We're celebrating that Jesus came to us 2,000 years ago, but Advent means coming, which we also celebrate that Jesus is coming again and that we have a hope and that we have a future. In these weeks, we've been talking about what Advent means, that when God shows up, when God comes near, we find hope. When God comes near, we find faith. When God comes near, the light of Christ shows up in our life. And today we're talking about when God comes near, we find peace. And we all want peace. If there's one thing that's universal in our world, no matter what country we're from, no matter what socioeconomic background, nationality, everyone is in agreement. Everyone wants peace. But there's a lot of things that are stealing and trying to steal our peace and take away our peace. So many things fight against peace in our life, from broken relationships, you know, a broken marriage, a broken girlfriend, boyfriend, a breakup, a separation, a divorce. It could be the death of a loved one that some of us have experienced here this year, the loss of a job, financial hardships and setback. There's all these different things, a diagnosis. There's so many things that battle for our peace that wants to take it away. And yet, I have found in the Church of Jesus Christ, I have found in the faith of God's people, I have found that, have you ever found that peace exists in unexpected places? I've been in a lot of situations in my 5 years as pastor. I've been in hospital rooms. I've been at the side of death. I've been in brokenness and relationships. And I can tell you that for the believer, I've seen many times peace show up where you would not expect it. Because that peace is not based on that outward circumstances, but it's based on something greater. It's based on something, an inner peace. And one of those ways I witnessed this year is our church, unfortunately, has had more than its fair share of widows this year. And yet I've been watching these ladies and some of these widows, too young to be widows. And yet I've been watching some of these awesome ladies in our church. I've watched them just show an incredible amount of strength and peace. Peace isn't the absence of pain. It doesn't mean that everything's okay on the outside or that there's not any pain on the inside. But I've watched with just incredible humbleness and gratitude to watch some of these ladies live with such strength and peace in their trust in Jesus Christ. And it's an inspiration to follow their life. The book of Luke that tells our favorite story of the Christmas story, the one of the ones that we know the best and know it well, maybe backwards and forward. But the book of Luke tells about this unexpected peace that comes in unexpected places. So today we're going to tell a story that's very familiar to us. And my prayer and my hope is that you don't tune out because the story is so familiar to you, but that God will enlighten our hearts and our minds to something new and to a realization of how awesome He is and how He wants to display His love and His glory in your life and my mind and in our lives and often in unexpected places. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to go to Matthew on Christmas Eve, but this story is the story in famously told Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And at that time, there was no United States, there was no Canada or Mexico, to our knowledge. There might have been things, there's nothing really documented. At that time, the Roman world was the world. And Rome had overtaken the world. They had dominated. And there was a peace, if you will, but it was a peace through force. And it was a period of about 27 BC to about 180 AD. This period of a couple hundred years known as Roman peace. But that Roman peace came through ways of, we know the Romans were very famous for crucifixions and executions. They were a way of peace to bring about by control and by power and by authority. But yet there was not really war during these couple hundred years. There wasn't much war at all. But we all know that there doesn't have to be war going on for there to be a lack of peace in our lives and a lack of peace. We all want that peace, but the true peace we're after is the inner peace. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. So they're from Nazareth, which is prophesied in Scripture that Jesus would be a Nazarene, he'd come from Nazareth, that he'd be called Jesus the Nazarene. This would be in a four-day journey to a little town called Bethlehem, which Bethlehem was prophesied that the line of David, in which one day in a time when David was shepherding his sheep out on the hillside, this would also be the place that the Messiah would come from. And so all this was set up, that this four-day journey that led to a little town called Bethlehem, in an unexpected place, to an unsuspecting group of people, that you would not think that this would be the place where the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would arrive on the scene. Nazareth, in our way of understanding, is, you know, and there's one time Nathaniel, one of Jesus' disciples who had first heard from his brother about Jesus possibly being the Messiah and meeting him, he said, "Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth?" It's kind of like saying around here, is there anything good that can come out of Nickerson? Now hold on to my Nickerson people that I love so much. My wife teaches in Nickerson. She wouldn't want to teach any other place. She loves Nickerson. One of the best things that ever came out of Nickerson was our worship pastor, Dustin, a graduate of Nickerson High. So this is just an example that God did not, he could have sent to Kansas City, to Chiefs Kingdom. He could have sent that would not be good. But my example is he'd come to a city like Kansas City or Denver, not to a place like Nickerson, not even to a place like Hutch. But a king would be born in a palace, not with two peasants out on the hillside. So it's a very unexpected place that this king would not be born in a palace, in a city, but to a carpenter out on a hillside. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. I think so often we just read this. We've read it so many times. They were like, just, and we're so used to, you know, babies being born in our society. There's a very low mortality death rate because of great medicine, great doctors, great physicians, which we're so grateful for. But it's still a scary thing. They used to, when I was born and my sister was born, they left the dad, the father, outside the room. And when the baby arrived, then they let you come in and celebrate how easy it all was, you know, and how great this was. Now, I guess because we need to punish the you know, or at least know what they're feeling, they put us in the room now and we get to see how scary this season. Unless you're a doctor, it's scary. You know, my first child came out with Conehead from the 1979-78 SNL Saturday Night Live, and I was thinking, something is wrong, and they assured me that everything was okay. I remember when just a few months before that, Heather was about 7 months pregnant, my sister had one that she was not expecting, the first only guy in our family, only male, and he was born in November of 1999. And we were all enjoying being around in the room and just kind of getting ready for this to happen. All of a sudden, the doctors and the nurses came blazing in there. They kicked us all out, and they sent her off for an emergency C-section. I saw my brother-in-law turn white as a ghost. You could see the fear in his face. We've kind of gotten used that birthing is kind of a natural, easy thing, but it's not. Anyone see the news story just a week or so ago where they were showing this guy and his wife? They were in a car on the way to the hospital, and the baby was coming, and the guy was like, "Hold on, hold on." That's what I'd be saying. Hold on, like we can control mother nature. But when it became apparent that this child was going to be born in the passenger's seat, all of a sudden this guy became a hero. He became really calm. He became really peaceful, really settled in an unexpected time, unexpected place. And I'm thinking, not me. I would have been saying, no, hold it, hold it. I mean, I wouldn't have come to that place of peace. And I know a lot of you guys, you'd be in the same boat that I'm in, unless you're a doctor in this room. It's still a scary time. And this place where Jesus was born, this place was not the pretty little manger that you see behind me that has a perfect little rectangle of straw and hay. There is a fake little baby Jesus in there today that the first service, and there was a little horse that's behind there. I just stuck that out for Pastor Dustin to get a rise out of him. He thought it was part of an illustration today. So it was a creepy looking little baby that would not do Jesus well. And it was just a tiny little horse. But this is not the nativity scene that you have in your homes with the three little wise men and the three little shepherds and the perfect little horse and the perfect little sheep. That was not, it wasn't even the hospitals that we're in. We know that barns and stables, they have smells that are not natural. They have things that are in that and on the floor in place. It was not a clean place. It had to be a scary time. It had to be a scary time for them to be born. But here's what I want us to get. Peace can come even in chaos. And I know all of us at different times in our life, we have things, we have chaos. That diagnosis. That broken relationship, that announcement of death knocking on the family's door. There's all these different things that bring chaos into our life. And yet, Mary and Joseph, chaos had come into their life, and yet they, I think, were as cool as cucumbers. Not because of how special they were, but because just a few words before this in chapter 1, the angel appeared to Joseph and Mary and said, "Don't be afraid. Here's how it's all going to go down. Here it's going to happen." They were given a word from the Lord. And friends, there may be chaos in our lives at times, but we have been given a word from the Lord. We have been given promises that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That yes, we'll have troubles and tribulations and trials, because in this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He promises not a easy street or safe passage, but he promises his presence. I love Isaiah that says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You're gonna go through hard times. We're gonna go through difficult times. But God doesn't promise us we won't go through difficult circumstances, but he does promise the child of God, the follower of Jesus, that he will be with us, that he'll never leave us, that he'll never forsake us. Back to the story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The shepherds are always these three little figures in our nativity. They're all nativity scene. They're all perfectly put together. But the reality is, this is a wonderful message of Christmas, is that the first that Jesus' arrival came to and God sent his son was to the shepherds. He gave them the news that were out on the hillside. Here's the deal about shepherds. Shepherds were the outcast of society. They were the lowest on the socioeconomic totem pole. That's pretty good. They're on the low rung of the ladder. They were the last that you would think. In fact, they were ceremonial unclean. And so to go to the temple and to worship God, to worship Jehovah God, you had to first wash up to be ceremonial clean, to go clean into the temple as a representation you were going to stand before a holy God. And because of the nature of their work and what they did, they rarely could they visit the temple. Rarely did they show up for temple worship. And yet, God didn't wait for them to get cleaned up and come to them. God sent his shepherds while they were dirty and filthy and come to them. I didn't have any in the first service. I've asked this in previous years. Do we have any shepherds in here today? I would love for one shepherd to be in our church. So no shepherd of sheep today. So there's no shepherd. So the closest thing we have to a shepherd of sheep in our church are we have some cattle ranchers. And one of my friends here, Andy Clark, just a great guy. I relate to him because he's got nothing but girls in his household, even more than I have. And Andy invited Heather and I. He's that guy I talked about that he's got 300 plus or give or take a little cattle, and he knows them all. He knows them individually. They all look the same to me, and they all look the same to you. But he knows which one is which. He's a good shepherd. And he invited Heather and I out to kind of see what he does. And we got to see some things that I don't care to see again. And he told us some things that happened that I don't care to hear about again. And his arms and his hands are in places that no human hand or arm should be. And at some moments, because they are in great need and need help in the birthing, and your face is in places it shouldn't be, he is literally sometimes up to his eyeballs in stuff. He's dirty. I remember he came to our house one time. He's like, the girls, and they were stopping by. I think it was trick or treat or something. And Carmen and the girls came by, and he was like, "Where's Andy? He's out in the car. He's not coming in. Why? Because he smells." It was like, "It's okay. He can come in." And he came in. It was like, "Yeah, you smell." No, I didn't say that. I will say our dog Molly could not stop sniffing him. It was a field day for her. Jesus came to that which was the least expecting. Those that you would not expect. Shepherds out in the field nearby that were unceremoniously, they weren't clean. But peace comes through humility. And God chose to send his son in humility to take on our humanity, to make himself a little lower than the angels, to identify with our humanity and our sinfulness. And he also, the way that we respond to God and receive him is we come in humility. And he came to the shepherds because the shepherds represent all people. He didn't come to the palace and the kings and the priests. He didn't come to the royalty. The first people that hear about Jesus and his arrival are the shepherds, are the least of these, the most unexpected. That's good news for all of us because all of us are undeserving. He comes through humility. And to the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. God sent his son to change the world, to change us, to give us a hope and a future. Of all the ways God could have sent, he didn't send a soldier or commanding officer, an army in power and control. He sent a servant. He didn't send a judge. The first time he came, he didn't send a judge to condemn us and to judge us. It's to set everything right. He didn't send a reformer. The Father sent a Savior. Peace comes through a Savior because only a Savior can bring the inner peace that we need. In this Roman world at this time, there was peace in the world. There was peace on the outside, but there was not the real peace, the peace on the inside that only comes through a Savior. So suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth to those whom his favor rests." An unsuspecting choir came to an unsuspecting people and proclaimed a message that they were not expecting to hear. Came to the shepherds, to filthy shepherds, to, as Jesus would later say, "I have come for the sick, not the healthy. I didn't come for those who don't need a doctor. I have come for those who need a doctor, who need salvation, who know they need a Savior." Because peace comes to the undeserving, of which we're all undeserving. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need a Savior. And the first step to receive in Jesus Christ is to know that we do not deserve his grace, his mercy, but he gives it to us, to all who receive it. And when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about him and to this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds were obedient. And that's, peace comes through faith and obedience. It comes through faith. They immediately heard the message of the angels and they immediately responded, let's go see this thing that has happened. And they responded and went and found the Savior just as has been told. They obeyed even though it didn't make any sense to them. They trusted. Peace comes through faith and obedience. And then the shepherds finally, verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They returned. They didn't stay there. They encountered the Messiah, they encountered Jesus, but they didn't stay there. They went back to work. They went back to their old jobs, to their old hillside, But they went back as new creations in Christ. They went back as new, and they couldn't help but tell others everything that they had seen and heard. And we're called to do the same thing. That's why we encourage you and invite people to Christmas Eve and to services, because we're not meant to hide our light under a bushel. We're not to bury the witness, but we're called to share what God has done for us, what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so they went back glorifying and praising God. Just same old job, same old workplace, same old life, but it's totally new men, it's totally new people. Some of you know one of my favorite stories, my first church in Rockland, California. And today he's the athletic director of Vanguard University, and he's turned a whole sports program around. I love it. God's put just, he loves me. I know he loves me because he puts a lot of sports people in my church. And he was a board member, and his sister Angela was going through an incredible time in her life. Not incredible in a good way, but she had a verbally and emotionally abusive husband. She had two little kids. Her life was on the rocks, and she was so distraught. And he had been inviting her to our little church there, a little church plant that we had there in California. And he began to invite his sister, and over a period of a few weeks, she was coming with eager and expectedness. And I didn't find out till later, a few weeks later. She came about the third Sunday. I heard the story because about 2 weeks later, we baptized her. Angela came on that Sunday morning, and like we often do and give people an opportunity to respond and say yes to Jesus and receive him as their Lord and Savior, she, unbeknownst to me, was one of those that Sunday morning that gave her life to Jesus. And she went back the next day to the same old work, same old job, same old life, same emotionally and verbally abusive husband. And yet she walked into that office space where all those ladies, her coworkers in that office, knew her story. You just talk about it. When those things are going wrong in your life, you talk about it with your coworkers, you're telling everybody about it. They knew how bad her life was. And yet they saw Angela on Monday morning with this incredible zest for life, this incredible smile from ear to ear, this incredible attitude. And so one of them got up the nerve and went over to her and said, because this is what the world thinks, it's just trading out one for the other. And they said, "Who's the new man in your life?" And Angela said, "Jesus." Jesus was the new man in her life. She walked back to the same old life that she was in, but she walked back as a new creation. I just saw Angela Corby a couple years ago at a funeral. I was out in Sacramento. She is still following Jesus, living for the Lord, has a joy. Her parents have come to Jesus. She found a way to be, it became an ex, but they found a way to amicably live apart. But God can do a new work in the midst of our chaos when we give our hearts and lives to him. We may go back to the same old world that we live in, but we can go back new and changed with a peace that only comes from Jesus in our hearts and lives. Will you stand with me today? I've invited the worship team up here today to sing with us in a moment. This is the last thing that I want to share with us today. They went glorifying and praising God for all that they'd seen and heard. In an unsuspecting time, in an unsuspecting place, I want us to get this. If we have found the comfort of his peace, then he must have the glory of our praise. If we have found that peace that only Christ gives us, I just thought it would be no better way than to finish this service with just a regular Christmas song that we often sing about how we can come and adore him. So I just thought it'd be a great way as we head into our Christmas Eve services, if we could just take a few moments to adore him. I'm going to pray with us. If you close your eyes and bow your heads just for a moment. Maybe you're in a place right now in your life and it's unexpected. You weren't expecting this. But Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now. And your world may be in chaos, but he wants to bring peace into your life. And if that's you today, I won't embarrass you, I won't call you out, but just as a statement of faith and asking that you want Jesus to be in your life, would you just raise your hand? I can pray for you before you leave today. Just raise it high. Thank you. Thank you. The others, thank you. Anybody else this morning? And you may be online watching. This is for you. I don't have to see you. God sees you. But just a simple prayer. If you believe with your heart and confess with your lips, he'll be your Savior. Lord Jesus, I pray for these that have expressed, Lord, this desire, Lord, that right now you would come into their life and into their heart. The Lord, you would forgive us of our sins, that you would make us a new creation in Christ. The old life may still be waiting us, but there's a new life of peace and joy and hope that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that we receive it right now. Lord, thank you, Father, for this Christmas season. Thank you that you have come to bring hope. You've come to give us faith. You've come to shine light in a dark world, and you've come to give us peace. And as we'll talk about Tuesday night, you've come to give us joy. Only you can do this, and we thank you, and we praise you together. In Jesus' name, amen.